The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're on page 3 of the Doctrine, the Importance of Doctrine. I'll pick up with Roman numeral 12. Roman numeral 12. All right, let's take the customary time to remember that there is, with regard to those even of us who are dedicated and positive to Bible doctrine and make a claim to positive volition, that there is an obstacle, and that's to sit here, to be here, and not be in fellowship. And being in fellowship is characterized by a number of things: intellectual honesty, objectivity, slow to criticize, distracted by things on the outside, things on the inside. Do not be a distraction to those around you by unnecessary movement. And certainly we have had the decorum here that I talk, you listen. You operate with your ears and focus your attention on this information, because this information is going to make the difference between whether you finish your course and get that high reward or fumble on the 1 yard line and lose the game, to use an analogy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you that you continue to support us and be with us in our quest to continue to be positive and faithful to the truth under our spiritual gifts to the coming of Jesus Christ. Bless our time together in the matters at hand, in Christ's name. Amen. Some observations. Bible doctrine in the brain-soul produces isolation and victory over the STA. That's what gets people, is their STA. Their STA eventually wins the day in the lives of otherwise positive people. It's things they want that aren't appropriate, perhaps, for a number of reasons. Psalm 51, 5 and 6. Interesting. David understood this doctrine of the STA and the origin of it. Many theologians do not. I went for years in a fog with regard to what is the sin nature. And once, it's right in front of me. It's in the genetic code. And it's connected to, it's not our fault we've got one. Period. We are helpless, as helpless as we can be having an aging gene. We can't help it. That's our inheritance through the fall of Adam. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. And in sin, my mother conceived me. Now, David here is not saying that he's the illegitimate child of his mother. We know the name of his father and his mother. They had 7 boys. David was the youngest. He says, and in sin my mother conceived me. In the conception or the pregnancy of his mother, the STA was present in the womb. And, of course, behold, shifting gears here, how to deal with and overcome this monster, the STA. Behold, you, God, desire truth in the innermost being. That's what God desires. So you got this tonight, right? God desires that you have truth, Bible doctrine, in your innermost being, human spirit and soul, etc. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Then he goes on to talk about the need for rebound, because you will succumb to your STA daily. And therefore, you need the cleansing that's associated here in this next verse. Psalm 119:11. Wrong psalm. This is a key one here. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Attitude towards Bible doctrine. I treasure your word, your divine revelation, this anonymous psalmist says, that I may not sin against you. So facing situations, you have the option of not sinning, not going there. You may be tempted, but backing off and overruling that, because you have volition, and with your volition, you can overrule the inclination to commit a variety of sins. Romans 6. Relating this to church age believers. For sin in the singular, sometimes, is used as a synonym for the old sin nature. We have in the doctrine a list of synonyms for the old sin nature. So Romans 6:12. Paul speaks to these believers. And he says to them, therefore, do not let sin, /STA, old sin nature, reign, that's dominate, in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts. The STA sends out signals from the lust pattern. And we've listed in broad terms the area of the lust pattern. It can manifest itself in a lot of ways. There's materialism or money lust. Things. Lusting after things. Doesn't mean you can't look at something and say that's a nice looking fill in the blank. That's not a sin. It's an observation. There is, of course, sex lust rampant in the human race. There's approbation lust. And it manifests itself. I was thinking today, a lot of people are into human good big time. But they want to be acknowledged. They want a plaque. They want something named after them. And Jesus teaches that when you do good to others, keep it as low-key as possible. Don't let your right hand know what your right hand's doing, to use a figure of speech for helping somebody, but not blowing your own horn or having someone else do it. Think of all the people in the world that are involved in human good, human activity for approbation. And there's other types of manifestations of approbation. Taking care of yourself, dressing appropriately, isn't necessarily approbation. It's the mental attitude that's involved. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey it lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body. That's everything from the top of your head to your toes. The members of your body. Because sin is carried out by the members of the body. The individual parts that make up the body. From a simple mental attitude sin to some overt sin. presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead. Alive from the dead is when we're out of fellowship, one of the categories of death, we are dead. As long as we perpetuate that, we are dead. We can't produce divine good, etc. We're out of fellowship. We're not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Would you and I like to have a God reveal to us this how much time you're in fellowship on this day in April? You might be shocked, but you can improve it. Get yourself and keep yourself in fellowship. Don't let people, things, and circumstances provoke you. It's easy to provoke someone so they're under anger. Members of your body include your speaking apparatus, where people say things they should not. Cursing, maligning, etc. Sins of the tongue. But as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So let's say you came here to Bible class, you're driving down the road, you're in fellowship, you're going to get in Bible, you're getting here, you have the right mental attitude, you're glad to be in class. Versus the alternative. If you didn't have this outlet, where would we be? Pathetic, like the rest of those people out there. Pathetic, not clueless, and a lot of them are Christians that have not been taught the doctrine of rebound and the doctrine of the old sin nature. The old sin nature, it's either the Holy Spirit or the old sin nature at any split second in your life that is the ruler. See, doctrine of the rulership of life. And a simple rebound, Father, I confess that. I got mad. I got scared. Boom, go on. Roll on. I just used two illustrations. I shouldn't have said that. Rebound. Bible doctrine provides the divine viewpoint of life. In other words, God's thoughts on a subject, God's viewpoint on a subject. But you've got to have doctrine to be able to do this one. And that's what you have here in Maranatha Church. You've been given doctrine to see through. And I will use as my illustration. Well, what are we to expect? That the devil and his organization has been busy through history, downloading, if you will, false systems, philosophies, false science, religion, evil politics. Bolshevism is an example, completely satanic. So I'll read from verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh. Now that doesn't mean you're under your sin nature. Flesh is used of what covers our bones, skin and flesh. And that's how it's used here. Though we walk. Walk is the one coming up. Modus operandi, Latin for method of manner of life or manner of operation. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We do not carry on our spiritual warfare according to the standard of the flesh. Like we recently studied, get even. Insult for insult. Getting back at someone. Examples of that. We do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, There's the SDA. But divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. This isn't physical fortresses. These are invisible but real fortresses. A fortress is something that is built up as a defensive bulwark against an outside threat. There are still many of them in the world, fortresses. For the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations, speculative theology, speculative science. They tell you it. They tell you it's the theory of. Duh. I guess you need to go to the dictionary and look up the word theory. I have a theory. I put it out there. It can be examined. If it doesn't hold up, then it's useless. It's a theory. The theory of evolution. Well, it's one big example that permeates civilizations. It permeates it. And it is so stupid, so illogical. You can take anything you observe in the living realm. How did that evolve to that? How did ants evolve to do what they do, or bees, honeybees? With their hive, with their queen, with all that they do. They're amazing. They came full blown. In the case of bees, they're pollinators. If we didn't have them, and they didn't, things would perish quick. A lot of things would perish without pollinators. We may take them for granted. Against the knowledge of God, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It's got most of us, a lot of us have never heard of it, the old Pac-Man game. I know it's an antique. But anyway, the old Pac-Man game. So when you hear this stuff, and you've heard Bible doctrine, and you will be exposed, even though you try to maybe avoid it, you will be exposed to people running their mouths, something on the TV, whatever, some stupid movie. You bring this into captivity for Christ. And those strongholds are going to be all brought down in the day of the Lord. They're going to be exposed for the bankruptcy that they are, the sham that they are. To the chagrin and the shame of the many who embraced them and lived by them. It's just like a religion. You look at some religion and you say, how can they do that and believe that? How can they worship a cow? Like in India. Whatever. I'm picking on people in India. I'm just saying. How can they do that? Raised up against the knowledge of God. We're taking every thought captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay. Confidence. I like this one. A person has confidence. This isn't arrogance. This is confidence. This will get you through. This Hebrews 10:35. Some people have done this. I've had to experience this and witness this through my many years here. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Dump doctrine overboard. For whatever. Don't throw away your confidence. You know that doctrine. You know this doctrine. Do not abandon it. Do not throw away your confidence. Sound doctrine. Which has a great reward. God does not, in His Word, use the word great lightly. People do. They use the term lightly all the time. Have a great day. They don't have a clue as to how to have a great day. Do they? You can be suffering like crazy and have a great day. Because you're in fellowship and you're producing divine good and you're relating it all to God. And you're having a great day. You didn't succumb. You didn't give up the fight. You hung in there. In pain, in suffering, let's say, as an example. Or you can have a happy day. The weather's nice, everything's nice, you feel good, the food was good, blah, 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 good fellowship, and God blessed your shopping basket, that kind of stuff. Now, that can be a great day, too. Or you can do the whole thing and be out of fellowship. Look, when I teach, I also point the finger at myself. We all stumble in many ways. But the point is to keep pounding away at this so that we can hopefully do better. If you had a bad day, that meant that you were out of fellowship from the minute your feet hit the floor and you got up and something didn't go right. And then it just led one thing to another, a cascade of things. And then you went to work, and there you are, a bunch of STAs around you with human viewpoint. We got seated next to a couple ladies in a restaurant. They weren't even saying anything grotesque. It's just, this is what they're consumed with. They're like blind people. Nothing of the divine viewpoint ever came out of them. And I didn't expect it to. Like I was expecting it to. They were just an average example. That they have no hope, that all their life is what just happened to them recently. And they're moving ever closer down that road to the end. But they're just one out of millions and millions that are walking around in this spiritual fog. I'm not arrogant. I'm just saying that's the way they are. That's why I detest most TV programming. No, honestly. Show me some divine viewpoint here. It might be good acting. It might be good, props and everything they put in there. But this is the time of spiritual darkness. It's only in the age of Christ on earth that divine viewpoint, like we study at Maranatha, will cover the earth like the waters cover the seas. Everywhere. It can't be any other way. They don't know this. They're clueless. And the religious crowd is just about as bad. They can't articulate these doctrines. I guarantee you they can't. They can talk about how great Jesus is and wear a t-shirt and run around and do all this stuff. No. No. Not impressed. But sit down and try to explain a doctrine to them. I'm willing to sit down and be patient with people. Drop something on them, because I have nothing to hide here. I've done it and had a positive response, but mostly a polite, but no thank you. This is what I get. And a lot of people, I don't even bother. If they ask me, I'll tell them, well, what kind of church is it? I'll try to give them a little synopsis of what it is. But if you're not looking for that kind of a church that's serious about the Word of God, and you want to be entertained and amused and have your emotions jerked around, and all the rest of it, fine. It's all over out there. It's all over. just drop on them. Did you know the United States is in prophecy? They may be aware of prophecy and the coming of the Lord and the rapture and things like that. Did you know the U.S. is in prophecy? But they have to follow up on it. I did. I can't spoon feed people. I followed up on it on my own. When I was first exposed to it, I couldn't get enough of it. Second Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. I don't know if that one really fits. He has not given us, but it's a good verse. So we don't have to shy away and all this business. Now, if you run into people that demonstrate indifference or even antagonism, that's it. Jesus didn't run these people down. Jesus didn't. When people peeled off, and they did, when he taught at a particular time, a whole bunch of his disciples, not the 12, the 11, I mean, Judas was okay, but a whole bunch of people that were avid, on the surface, avid followers of his, they just left. And the disciples are all vibrating. And Jesus didn't say, "Now, I hope you guys stay with it." He didn't put it like that. He put it the hardcore way. Are you going to go away too? The plan of God's going to go on with or without your support. It always has. It always has. God isn't into the numbers game, and it is sometimes the few. Look at all the converts the great man Noah had. Was 120 years? They're working on this ridiculous ark, looking from the human viewpoint of the people around. Look at that. And he's preaching judgment's coming. 120 years, I believe. He was told up front how much time he had left. And him and his sons built that monstrosity. And 8 people got on board, and others were invited. And you go down through time, and you see this. You see this from time to time. You see exceptions. So God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Someone asks you, you give them the divine viewpoint. But of power and love. You got to have that in there. And discipline. Proverbs 3:24. What doctrine will do for you? The Bible tells me in various places, and I have to apply it. I have to get myself right and apply it. Because if I feed off my STA, then I'm off under fear. Fear of the weather. Fear of violent storms. They come. This is again a parent, Solomon, instructing his son. Now, this is an older son, but not, you know, grown up, but a young person who can comprehend these things, trying to prepare him for life. And that takes up a big bunch of the book of Proverbs, where the section starts off, "My son, do not forget my teaching. That's all you can do is tell them. When they're old enough to comprehend, when they start developing vocabulary, you can start, God will bless you, you can start injecting divine viewpoint their direction. And it's always wonderful when you see one of these young ones very responsive. You just hope they hang in there with it. They got history ahead of them. They got to go through that period of youthful lust and all the other kids are doing this and rah, 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 rah. But there are examples in the Bible of exceptions, but you can't create these. There's no magic formula. Teach them this and they're going to stick with it. All you can do is do it as a parent. All you can do is put the information in front of them. But first of all, they have to respect you. They also have to fear you. You fear God, don't you? You fear God. Which with all of its nuances, fear, respect, you fear God. Because you know that He can put the hammer down. But He is a God of love too. So a parent has to have these same characteristics with regard to their children. Their children have to learn early on that certain types of behavior, you're going to step in front of them. They're not going to like it. So I've told you many times, we've witnessed out in public these little kids acting up, throwing fits. My boys knew not to do that. They're going to get you anywhere but your rear end lit up. That's what's going to get you. You do not do that in public. And yet you see it. So they didn't do it, as far as I can remember. The Bible is very clear on this. They have a sin nature. And it will show itself real early on. Oh, they're so cute. Yeah, cute. They'll grow up to be real pretty and evil if you don't stop it. People tell me today that the discipline has gone down in the public school system. I don't doubt it. Look what these teachers are inheriting. We're way past what it used to be when you didn't do this stuff. You didn't do this before your father and your mother, and you didn't do it in school. There was hell to pay, so to speak. And the kids that just were incorrigible, they wind up in reform school or dead. So you were raised in a household where they didn't step in front of you. They didn't do you a favor. You didn't know that there's consequences for back talk, throwing fits, and not responding to a simple command. Put that down. Don't do that. You've got to understand this, because if time elapsed, you're going to be a lot more disappointed when they grow up into nasty teens, if we're still here. Well, hopefully we won't be. You don't get a chance to have to deal with that. So the psalmist says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." I'm going to tell you how to live. I'm going to tell you how to live before God. And I'm going to tell you the blessings that are going to come to you if you manage to do this. It'll ultimately be up to you. But I'm not going to be to blame because I dispensed the information. And then he lists some of the kinds of things. You'll have a longer life, potentially. And you'll have good years. Be a kind person. Is that hard? Be kind. He says, bind them around your neck. He doesn't mean necessarily literally to have some kind of jewelry that has scripture on it. The neck is related to volition. Volition. They had an animal sacrifice where they broke the neck of the animal to illustrate negative volition. Write them on the tablet of your heart. If you do these things, you'll find favor with your fellow man and good repute. That's a straight up person there. That's a good kid. Really is a standout. You'll find favor and good repute with God and man. And you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. God's in this or He isn't. He'll make your path straight. Things will work out for you. Because you're following the plan. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You'll have evil shoved in front of you. Just get away from it. Whenever it surfaces, and you never know. I mean, there's places you shouldn't even go to begin with, but there are things you can't help. He says another thing. It's a road to good health. It will be healing for your body and refreshment for your bones. Then he says, you need to support, honor the Lord from your wealth. Today we would say give and support your local church monetarily. That's taught in the New Testament too. And if you honor the Lord with your wealth, and that doesn't mean just give it, you know, it would be any number of things, and from the first of all your produce, if you're a farmer, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. God will turn up the deal and bless your business activities. In this case, it's agricultural. And you're going to fail. And do not reject the discipline of the Lord. You step out of line, God will discipline you. Don't reject it. Or loathe His reproof. Whatever form and forum that comes in. Like Bible class. Well, God got nailed in that class, someone might say. Boy, He hit me. Okay. It's nothing personal. It's my job. To reprove. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. A father corrects a son in whom he delights. He delights in the boy. But he's going to correct him. He's not going to let it go. That's showing love. That's showing regard for the individual. And then how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And then he goes on to say, her profit, wisdom, personified as a woman, is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire compares with her divine viewpoint, wisdom. Nothing compares to divine viewpoint. Which you were exposed to this evening, once again. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. God will prosper you in the material realm. But you've got to pay your dues. You've got to honor Him in the little things and hang in there. And when you're told something, you need to take it to heart, take it seriously. This is the divine viewpoint. This is God's will. It isn't something, oh well. Her ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life whose take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. Two extremes. probably a reference in 20a to the great flood. And then something as benign as coming out and where the humidity and the temperature are coalesce and you have this wetness all over the grass. Dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and an adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in what your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, we get to this, you'll not be afraid. While I'm asleep, God's watching over me. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear. What about that one? Something that just comes up out of the clear blue that is threatening. That's sudden fear. It isn't something that is telegraphed to you and it's coming. It just, boom, it's in front of you. Though no fault of your own. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. If you come under attack for your faith, don't be afraid of that. What can they do? Jesus said, what can they do? If it's God's will, they can't touch a hair on your head. And if it's God's will for them to kill you, that's all they can do. You just got promoted. And it ended your life with honor. Jesus did. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it when you have it with you. You want to help someone out with living grace. If you've got it, and they're in front of you, and they're a legitimate situation, here's the $100 or whatever it is. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom personified as a female, and she will guard you. Love her and she'll watch over you. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, he's not referring physically, running. And in other words, when you're moving fast to something and it's the right thing, you'll not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. You know who they are out there. They advertise themselves pretty well. And do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. These types are all over. But the path of the righteous is like the dawn, light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. That's phase three. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. Put away from your mouth, from you a deceitful mouth. And put devious speech far from you. Word games. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, liberal or, you know, like stupid conservative, legalistic. Turn your foot from evil. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.